The reason I say that is because I've got my reading glasses on. I know there are folk out there. And, oh, dear. You've got them back on. No. Yes, Sue and I are going off to Portugal tomorrow. But before we go to Portugal, we've got to go to Bristol tonight so that we can have a good night's sleep before we start off very early tomorrow morning. And this week has been a time where we've been preparing to go. Well, at least one of us has. And so all the way through this week, I've been looking to see what I need to take and making sure that it's all nice and clean and packed away. And then I've had to look to see whether they're, what we would like to do when we're there. So I've had to make arrangements for the bed and breakfast tonight, car parking first thing tomorrow, then we've got flights. This holiday has been given us as a Christmas present from Sue's family, for which we're very grateful. And we want to enjoy it. And so we're just taking an opportunity which has been given to us, and we want to make the most of it. But to do so, there's got to be the preparation. There's got to be all these plans have got to be made before the day. It's going to be a bit too late tomorrow for me to try and book a car. And it's going to be better to have had some advanced knowledge of the sorts of things we could do whilst we're there. So the planning has gone on, and God willing, if it's warmer there than it is here, we'll have a great holiday. We'll have a great holiday even if it's not, because we've taken winter clothes as well as summer clothes. Anyway, what I want to read is a passage from Exodus chapter 33. Okay? It's at the front end of the Bible, more or less the second book that's there. Yes, Exodus 33. And I'm going to read from verse 7. This is from the New King James Version. Just so you know where I am. Right. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp. He called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose. And each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of the cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses, face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And Moses would return to the camp, but his servant, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up the people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." And God said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken. For you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Please, show me your glory." Then God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But God said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock, so it shall be while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. And then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Wow. What an experience that must have been for Moses. To give you just a bit of an insight as to putting this chapter into context, if indeed I've got it right, because it's difficult to work out the chronology of some of the ways in which these historic books are written. But if we look at the chapters that we have before us, we would see that Moses has been called up into the mountain and Moses has been given the Ten Commandments. And whilst he is away, the people decide that they need a hands-on God, inasmuch as they want to put their hands on God. So they build this idol. They worship this idol. And all the time that Moses is up with God, of course, God knows what's happening. This is, but God isn't above all this. God knows what's happening. And whilst he is with Moses, God is saying how he wants the people to be different, how he wants the people to follow a form, a form of religion, a practice of religion, a practical thing for them. This is how you will do it. He's describing how the tabernacle that is going to house the Ark of the Covenant is going to house the bronze altar, the laver. This is God actually saying, this is how I want to presence myself with my people. I am going to be there. I'm going to be sitting on that mercy seat between those cherubim. That's where I want to see the bloodshed. And God is expressing all of this to Moses whilst down below the people are going wild. And then Moses comes down and he gets really ticked off, doesn't he? He gets really annoyed. He breaks those Ten Commandments. Now then this chapter is coming along after that. So we haven't got the tabernacle that we see so often portrayed as being that big sanctuary that has been prepared. What we have got in this chapter is a tent of meeting where Moses and Joshua spend time and where God comes down and speaks to Moses face to face. So that's where we are. We haven't yet got the big tabernacle. We've got this tent of meeting, which is called a tabernacle, but often in Scripture. That's only because the Hebrew words are similar. So this is the tent of meeting. But there's a couple of things I want to stress. Moses took a conscious decision that he wanted to meet with God. It says, Moses took his tent outside the camp, a long way from the camp. It's pitched. And he knows when he goes there, he will meet with God. That's his privilege as the leader of this group of people. So imagine this now. Moses is walking towards the tent of meeting. God isn't there yet. But God knows that it is Moses' intention. He wants to meet with God, and he's going to meet with God there. So he's got a faith and a hope that actually says, I will meet with God. And God acknowledges that, because once Moses gets there, God comes down and settles in that place. And the people see that as well. So Moses is making his way to the tent of meeting, and it says that the people who saw Moses going to the tent of meeting, some of them that had issues on their own hearts and minds, would go into the area of the tent of meeting. They couldn't go into the tent of meeting, but they would go to the place where they knew the power and authority of God was going to be. And then there were other people, perhaps, who didn't have those big issues on their mind. They saw Moses walking towards that tent of meeting. And it said that they each stood at the door of their tent, and when they saw the cloud settle by the tent of meeting, they worshipped God. Now, if you've got that picture in your mind, and I haven't exaggerated any of that, you read those verses, that's what we've just read. That's what it says. Now put yourself in that position. Moses had made preparations to meet with God. He'd taken his tent there. If your intention this evening was to meet with God here, what preparations did you make? What preparations did I make? Is that important? Or do you say to yourself, nah, Sunday evening, 6:30, come through the door. Sit down. God, are you here? That's not what Moses said. Is that this thing? Is it a helicopter outside? Okay, right. So I'm going to ask you now, what preparations did you make tonight to meet with God here? Do you really anticipate meeting with him this evening here? Are you saying to yourself, okay, I didn't make those preparations that I should have made. I didn't come here with the right attitude of heart and mind. I almost came on the off chance. I just rushed in. But next week I will. Next week I will have a different approach. I'll spend some time before I come to church next week, and I'll settle the things that I should have settled. My heart will be clean, my mind will be clear, and I will be ready to meet with God. And I would say, why wait till next Sunday? You see, what we've got to have in our hearts is a sincere desire to regularly meet with God. You see, he's saved us, not for us to be sitting on the sidelines watching a match going on in the middle of the football field. No. He wants us to be there as a player in his team. And he is saying, you've got to listen to the coach. You've got to be fit. You've got to be ready. You've got to be ready to hear instruction. You've got to be ready to ask questions. Am I in the right place? Am I playing in the right position on the field? And if you've closed your mind to any preparation towards that game, really, you will not be contributing. And this isn't a game that we're in. This is a serious business. We, you and I, we are in the environment in which the Lord has placed us for his glory's sake. The people were challenged by the fact that Moses went to that tent. Those that had real needs, they wanted to take them to a place where God's power and God's authority could actually impact them. When we see the miracles of Jesus, we see people who deliberately placed themselves in Jesus' way because they had a need and they wanted to see that need met. Sue and I saw a TV program only this week. I think it was probably aired the week before Christmas, but It was talking about the miracles of Jesus. And we see that there's the blind man that's going to call out to him. There's the leper who made himself known to Jesus. There's the lady who had the issue of blood who reached out and took that opportunity and touched him. Because those people saw there is a source of power and authority in this world. And its representatives are here. This week, I went to a training course in the organization of Healthwise Wales. One day I'll tell you all about it. I am now an ambassador. And that means that I should be able to tell people that are interested, or if I go to any schools, those that are half interested, to the concept of Healthwise Wales and how it can change our tomorrow. In fact, there are people listening to this recording, fortunately. Please get in touch. Healthwisewales.gov.uk. That is an important organisation. But it's not as important as people wanting to see God move in their lives. And this evening, that's what I want to ask you. How important is it for you to have a daily, I nearly said debate, I'll come back to that in a moment, a daily talk with God, if we had the chance? Aren't there things that we'd like to do? When we visited Russia, we met up with a lady there who, when she has got an issue, she phones Putin and speaks to him personally. Because she has got issues on her mind and she wants to see them resolved. So she takes them to the top man. And she has seen some changes. And that's just a lady, right? Who used to be an academic, now is retired. But just a lady. She wouldn't look out of place if she sat here. She wasn't royalty, just an ordinary citizen. God said that he wanted to talk. Well, no, God didn't say it. What we can read in Scripture is God had a desire in his heart to speak face to face with Moses. And that happened. As I was writing this out, because you know that I write out all the words that I'm thinking of whilst I'm at home, and they're not necessarily all the words that I would say when I'm here, I had to work out how to spell the word deigned. God deigned to speak to Moses directly. Deigned. You can think about it. It's not D-A-N-E-D. I can tell you that. But anyway, the spelling came eventually. But you know what it means, don't you? It's a word that says, I don't need to do this, but I have a desire to do this. So I am deigned to do it. That's what it means. I'm going beyond my normal position on something, and I'm extending myself out to that person. And that's God speaking in that way to Moses. Face to face. Well, there we are. The phrase face to face. It says that in there. But Moses couldn't actually see God's face at that time. What it means is he spoke directly to Moses. That's the experience I want to have. It's the experience that I have had. Where I've been chatting to God. And he has responded directly. That is such a privilege. Life-changing. Because you feel, yeah, God wants to. And I'm happy that he does. Now, God's is having this conversation with Moses. The first thing that we hear from Moses is he is reminding God of what he has said. God has said, bring up this people. Now Moses is coming to him now. He's brought all the people into the desert area, the foot of the Mount Sinai. He's only brought them this far. And God is saying, I want you to take them, right over here. And Moses is saying, okay, so you said that, but who's going to go with me? You haven't told me who's going to go with me. Now, in earlier conversation with God, as he's chatting away, as you do, you know, God had said, I'm going to send Aaron with you. And Moses has had some experience of working alongside Aaron. And now we find in these earlier chapters that Aaron's actually taken a couple of wrong steps. And can you imagine now that Moses is saying, okay, thank you. Thanks for Aaron. You've been a lot of help down here with the people whilst I was up with you. Who are you going to send with me? Now, if you look in chapter 32, God has said, I will send my angel with you. And I can well imagine that Moses is saying, that ain't good enough. I want you to go. Well, really, you would like to have an expert with you, wouldn't you? You know, you don't want to have someone who's you've had no experience of their abilities at all, this angel. But you do know God. You know something of what God is like. And what you're saying is, I really want to go with a top man. So he challenges God and says, who are you going to send with me? You already said an angel. Later on in this chapter, God says, my presence will be. Wow, that's a different story. Now, this is Almighty God. Remember, there aren't any others of them. We've already discounted the possibilities of there being other gods. This is the God, the Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is God. And he is saying, my presence is going to go with you. Evidenced by that cloud. Evidenced later by the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. God had said, I'm going to go with you, and I will give you rest. Now, Moses is challenged in these sorts of ways. He's put a big issue to God. Who's going to go with me? Then he says, and God, I want you to consider that this nation is your people. Moses realized that he was just a man. He was just a leader. But he was one of these people. He had the same national background as the crowd of people that were waiting outside. And God, I want you to recognize that, yeah, these are your people. You've said it in the past. Now I want you to show that that is the case, so that as we go through the desert here, in all of our wanderings, however long it's going to take, these are your people, and you're the one who's looking after them. If they were to die in the wilderness, what witness and testimony would that be to the greatness of Almighty God? None whatsoever. But if you take them through, God, people will know they are your people. That's what Moses is stressing. They are your people. Then he says, God, I want you to show me your way. I want you to show me something of yourself, your characteristics, the real relationship you want to have with mankind. Show me your way. Now, this is something that you and I need to consider. Show me your way. God, I don't want you to be at a distance. I don't want you to be always in a cloud. I want to see the way that you move, the way that you relate to people, the way that you hold yourself in majesty, but the way in which you can actually relate yourself to the people that are following you. Of course, this is where God is able to say, yeah, I can have mercy on those who have mercy. Yes, I can have compassion on those who have compassion. Because God has all those wonderful attributes. And Moses is saying, I want to learn more about those. That's what I want to see. So that I can draw nearer to you. You know, as we develop relationships with one another, even with family members, what we need to see is where they're coming from. You know, what are their values? What are the issues that we really don't want to talk about because it's only going to upset them? So that we learn something about them to make sure that our relationship is honest, but the relationship is calm. As calm as we can make it. And what Moses is saying is, I want to know more about you, God, because I want the right relationship with you. I want to know what your values are. I want to know what your characteristics are. I want to know the way that you're going to react. God had already shown that he was able to give his people a right tasting for what they had done whilst he was up in the mountain talking to Moses. And these were things that Moses needed to learn. And then when Moses says, and yeah, I'd really like to see you, I'd like to see your glory, I think what Moses is saying, you are an almighty God, and I want to see you moving. Not just your characteristics, your values and virtues. I want to see the way God moves. Him in all of his glory. God says, okay, I can take you to a place and I can cover you with my hand. When I read that today, I was really touched by just one little phrase in that. And it says, here's a place by me. That's great, isn't it? God had said, Moses, you can come by me. And you will stand on a rock, he says. You will be safe. You will be secure. You will be on that rock. And as we have seen in other examples in Scripture, and people will not move you off it. See? And that is a wonder, a wonderful thing that God is saying to Moses here. Yes, I will show you how mightily I can work. But you will be safe. You will be secure standing on that rock. And people will not move you from it. Now I'm just considering these issues for us this evening. Do we make these sorts of decisions in relation to our relationship with God? Do we prepare ourselves? Are we ready to talk to him? Or do you say, no, no, I can't speak to God. God is all the way up there. He's too big for me. Our relationship shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't be fearful of the God who has given everything for us. He has given all of that for us. I can't remember the last phrase that we had on the last song. In the Trampled Rose one, the last line is, you thought of me. What is it? You took the fall and thought of me above all. Yeah, right. That's it for magic. That is how much God loves you. And do you think that if he loves you that much, that he sent his son to take the fall for you and thought of you above all else, you as an individual, that really wants you to be at a distance from him? That he's still going to say, you know, oh, yeah, okay, you're just a chattel. No. We are now his children. We are his redeemed people. He calls us within his nation. As Moses was talking about the children of Israel there, you and I are in there. Adopted heirs into the family of God. We are all part of the vine that draws us together. So we should have a right and we should have a natural instinct to be able to talk. The people that I love and am loved by, we are able to talk. Sometimes about difficult issues. No doubt about that. But we're able to talk. And it's a disaster if things go wrong between us and we're not able to talk. So you and I have got that opportunity. Do we seek it? If Moses saying those things to God about what he would like to do, he wanted God's presence with him, and God gave him that presence, and you have got that presence. God has already told you in Scripture a number of times that he will never leave you or forsake you. We know that. We can often quote these verses ad nauseum. Okay? Do they mean that to us? There's some verses here. He says in Isaiah 41, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So this is the God who has redeemed you, has drawn you into his family, and wants to have that close relationship with you. The Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from falling. In Proverbs chapter 3. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. In Psalm 34. Because God is saying, you have got great value to me as individuals. Now, God said to Moses, you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Now, I'm useless with names, okay? Though, I must admit, as we were driving here this evening, I prayed for you as individuals, and I remembered who is likely to be here, and there was only one person that I didn't pray for, but I have done since. Because I know you by name. There's a relationship that's developing between me and you now. But think of that relationship that God is developing. He knows you by name. It may not be the name that you know yourself by, Anne, because in Scripture it tells us he's given you a new name. He knows that new name, but that name relates to you. And he's saying, I know it. I know who you are. I know what you're suffering. If you're brokenhearted, I'm here to help you. If you're downcast, I'm here to help you. If you look as though you're slipping, I'm here to help you. What a relationship that is, to have someone who cares enough for us. Now, all of this started off in chapter 33 with Moses making that decision. He wanted to go to meet God. And I'm absolutely confident that on every occasion he went to meet God, God met him. I'm saying to you, are you ready to regularly say in your heart and mind, I want to meet you, God, and I'm going to make time. I'm going to set aside time. You are going to be part of my schedule and everything else in between. It's not like saying, well, I'm going to meet you at 9 o'clock in the morning, God, for half an hour. Yes, yes. It's all the way through the rest of the 24 hours. You know, we've got to be ready. But we've got a desire to do that. And then we'll find he will meet us in our each and every need. And what impact will that have? What impact did it have in Moses going to that tent? The people saw him. And the people moved. Some came with him to the tent of meeting. The others worshipped God from a distance because of what Moses was doing. That's it. It points back to Moses all the time in chapter 33. Because Moses did this, the people did that. And we want to see an impact on our families, don't we? On our neighbours. On our community as a whole. Let them see you and I desiring to meet with God and being affected by meeting with God. How did it affect Moses? His face was all shiny. Shiny in such a startling way. That really he had to cover it up because it was frightening people. You and I could be like that. Some of us got faces that frighten people already. So that's what I'm saying is one of the results of our total commitment to God. And it starts with a desire, heart's desire to meet with God. But let me tell you one other consequence. God says, I will make my presence with you, and you will have rest. I didn't understand that when I first read it. But after I dwelt on it, I thought, yeah, if God is with me, who can be against me? He will give me rest. Now, if you're not experiencing that rest, then something is wrong. So let's seek after that rest. So let's allow God to actually give us that peace of heart and mind and confidence. The scripture said that in Isaiah. No, that was probably this one. He's going to be our confidence. Because God is ready to meet all of our needs. He met all of the needs of Moses. Moses virtually carried these people for 40 years. Wow! We don't see 40-year politicians, do we? No. Or leaders of councils? No. Or leaders of countries? Oh, no. But Moses led a nation for 40 years because he had those encounters with God on a regular basis. And all I say to you is, are you prepared to go out of your way to meet God with great sincerity? It is my desire, God, that I meet with you. My heart and my ears will be open to you, God. And then move in his way, following his directions. When we get in the car tonight, we've got no idea where we're staying. But my sat-nav will. And my sat-nav will tell us which way to go. And that's good enough. It may take us on, as it has done in the past, on a rather rocky and diverse way. But that's not the point. There have been times when we've said, well, we're going along this country road now, which doesn't look right. But we've committed ourselves to Billy Connolly as he directs us on our sat-nav. And sometimes, yeah, he's a bit of a comedian because he takes us some wacky routes. But once you go along that road, stick with it. And you're fine. He'll get you there. God's better than Billy Connolly. Yeah. So, I leave that with you this evening. But the challenge that I leave with you is, how different will it be the next time you want to meet with God? The next time here? Or the next time in your quiet time at home? It's got to be that conscious decision. And as in Moses' case, have an impact on the people, you can have an impact on the people around you as well. Wonderful. Wonderful.